A5, number 12A.
So this morning we have made some exercises by which we took one idea of a synonymous term, namely power as an idea of mind, and combined it with each synonymous term per se. So we had power that is intrinsically a characteristic of mind, and then we combined it with spirit, the power of spirit, then with soul, the power of principle, the power of life, the power of truth, the power of love. And each time we could feel that it meant something differently, that there was no mistake how to use the power of spirit when we had to counteract the belief that matter or material laws have power, or to counteract the power of sin through the power of soul, or the power of material theories through the power of principle, or the power of death through the power of life, or the power of error through the power of truth, or the power of fear through the power of love. So you see, what we did is a combination of one idea with the whole synonymous term and the seven synonymous terms. Now, we go a step further. On the basis of the principle of synonymity of this idea, we can see that every idea of the seven synonymous terms can also be blended or combined with any other idea of the other seven synonymous terms, so that we blend idea with idea, and we are allowed to do that because of the synonymity principle of the synonymous terms. You see, in ordinary sciences, we can't do that. Whereas in spiritual science, where every idea refers to the infinite one and therefore is synonymous with the infinite one, there we can blend every idea with every other idea. So we will make an exercise with that, so that you see the method how to do it. And for instance, we take the idea intelligence. So all what we are now doing will have the overall central theme, intelligence. And we have now to be careful that we don't lose this overall theme or this pedal note, that just goes through everything which we now do in the way of blending of the ideas. Now, why should we do that? Why are we not just satisfied by saying that intelligence is an idea of mind and be happy with it and say, now we have found the category into which we can categorize the term intelligence, and it's an idea of mind, and that's wonderful, now we have it, full stop, period. Why should we go and see how they blend our idea, the idea intelligence blends with other ideas? We can come back to what we said about concept building, where we have seen that in concept building, we must see that we arrive at the full concept of every concept. As long as I have just the concept intelligence, I don't really know very much about intelligence. I don't really know all the angles and all the facets, all the characteristics of intelligence as used in Christian Science. Because intelligence, for instance, is a term that is used in all the other sciences. In psychology, I think you would take an intelligence test. I think you call it an IQ, an intelligence test. And one would measure intelligence according to the tests that are given and would define intelligence through that test. In Christian Science, we don't do that. Or we go into the field of medicine and ask, what do you consider to be intelligence? And perhaps they would say, well, intelligence is something that is depending on nerves and on brain, and intelligence has its seat in the brain, and perhaps we see how quickly you can react. According to how quickly you can react, your intelligence is bigger or smaller or stronger also. You can see they would measure intelligence according perhaps to the size of the brain or to in relationship with nerves. Or if we go to philosophy, I don't know exactly how they would define intelligence, but they would consider, say, intelligence as an ideal conception which can never be reached fully, that is such a high ideal of insight that it can never be reached. Or shall we say, we go to a teacher and say, what is intelligence? And perhaps he may say, well, that depends really on the amount of his memory capacity. And if he can memorize a lot, he's intelligent. If he can answer quickly, he's intelligent. So you can see the term intelligence, even in the various fields of science, have not a common denominator. Every branch of science would define intelligence in a different way, whatever that way is, and they would not coincide with each other. Therefore, if we speak among ourselves about intelligence or he is intelligent, we actually don't know what we are saying. Nobody knows what we are saying. It's just a term, and we have just an indefinite sense of what intelligence might be. But actually, we do not know what we mean by it. Therefore, the various faculties that are sitting around the table in the university and would talk about intelligence, they would quarrel with each other what intelligence really means. And as they would quarrel with each other, we would see that they would attribute to intelligence different nature, different abilities, different characteristics. So, in the same way, in Christian Science, we have the term intelligence, and it remains a term that does not mean very much until we take that term and consider it from all the angles that we can, namely from all the point of view of the seven synonymous terms, and only when intelligence is filled with all the concepts that we can take from the seven synonymous terms, we have a full concept. We have seen with concept building that we must arrive at the full concept of that term. And when we arrive at the full concept, then we can say, this is the idea, intelligence. Then we know exactly what we understand under the term intelligence. Therefore, in practice, in your daily practice, by relying on Christian Science in order to solve your daily problems, you may come to the point where you have to deal, say, with such an idea as intelligence, and therefore you can't just say mind is intelligence or God is intelligence, if then you don't know really what this term implies. And we can only know what the term implies by blending it with all the ideas of the other synonymous terms. Then we fill this empty shell of a concept and fill it so much that it finally becomes an idea, the idea intelligence. So let's try to do that together. You help me, or you come in, because that would be the way you would be thinking in your quiet hours when you had to work out a problem of ignorance, and you need to know what is intelligence. And therefore, instead of just repeating the term intelligence, we are considering from various angles. As it is an idea of mind, we will just start in right with mind, and see that as an idea of mind, it naturally is blending or reflecting. Doesn't matter if I say blending or reflecting or combining. It is blending with the other ideas of mind. Therefore, if we stay just in mind, we could see, for instance, what about intelligence? What could we see about intelligence? If we stay in mind, what would you feel? You would feel that intelligence has power. So that intelligence is already now built up to see that intelligence has within itself the power to do something. That it is not just a concept, but a powerful concept. What else could we see in mind about intelligence? That intelligence is creative. Therefore, it's not just a state of knowing a lot of details, just a data bank. Apparently, intelligence is creative. That we have a creative intelligence when we have the intelligence of mind. What else could we see? That intelligence manifests itself, that it is not just staying quietly behind the stove, as we say, in the corner behind the stove, doesn't do anything, but that it actually manifests itself. You get a terrific sense already that the power of intelligence, which is creative, manifests itself. We could go on, yes? That intelligence, has the power to manifest itself by forming ideas of mind, the right ideas. Therefore, we already see that intelligence can give us the right idea. What else could you see in mind?
So it must be unerring.
That wonderful, you see, that intelligence which manifests itself powerfully is unerring. We have a lot of other intelligences in the world that manifest themselves creatively, but not unerringly. Erringly. Can you see how necessary it is to bring in these different ideas so that more and more the perfect concept is formed? So I know already that intelligence will always be unerringly manifest itself in a creative way. What else could we see?
Supports.
Yes.
Maintains.
That it is a maintaining creative intelligence. Yes.
What about force?
Force. Yes. Well, we had power, that intelligence is power. Therefore, as a subtone, yes, of power, you can see that it is force, that is forceful. Yeah. Intelligence is forceful. Huh? You can say, because when something is presented in an intelligent way, it is just forceful. You have to give in. Yes. It's lawful, yes. That's terrific. That intelligence of mind, I always repeat now, in order to fill it up, that intelligence of mind, you said, is a powerful, creative intelligence that manifests itself in unerring ideas according to law, in a lawful way. So there is no escape about it. There is no accident about it. It's lawful. You can rely on it. That intelligence is guiding, is steering, leading, controlling. Wonderful.
Basis.
It's the basis of all. You base yourself on the intelligence, a powerful, manifesting, creative intelligence, yes? That, yes, that intelligence is all-knowing. If you have all-knowing, you can say it's all-comprehending, it's all-apprehending, it's all-perceiving. I just vary now all-knowing through shades of meaning of knowing. So that you feel at once that intelligence of divine mind is all-knowing, and by all-knowing it can perceive everything, it can apprehend everything, it can comprehend everything. Yeah? That intelligence is causative. That it is a cause, that it is causative. It causes itself to manifest itself. And is a cause insofar that it brings about the lawful manifestation. Yes? Okay? And has all the faculties of mind. Has all the faculties of mind. So that intelligence is really a genius. Has all the faculties. Yeah? Yes. All right. Every time you do that, other ideas may come into your thought in another way, in another order, additional ones, and so on. But you can see how only through blending intelligence within the same synonymous term, within mind, with ideas within mind, you already get a terrific, strong sense of intelligence, which already begins to correct various things. What has it corrected up to now? When you just think about these ideas that we have been taken, what does it correct? See, we always said, let's have the positive, and therefore right afterwards see what it is not, what it corrects, what it helps us. All right. So you can see it corrects ignorance. Intelligence corrects ignorance. Yes.
Apathy.
Why would you say apathy? What has apathy to do with ignorance, with intelligence? Yeah, you see, it's opposite of power, not of intelligence. Now, this is fine that has come up. You begin now to see that you have to be a bit careful by just blindly taking the list and going through the list, because these combinations must make sense. They must make sense. Therefore, though each idea reflects each other idea, you will begin to see that only then we get really do you say a sensical meaning? A meaningful meaning? A sensible meaning? When you really begin to think what is meant by it, not just make a play of words. Because later on we will see that on this sense depends then the whole question of structuring the seven synonymous term and the ideas. So that it is not just, juggling with these ideas and six-saw puzzle with this crossword puzzle with these ideas. So let's see that they always make sense, and therefore, when you do these things, always have somehow a concrete problem in your mind, a concrete problem of intelligence. See, when you think about it, just have a sense, well, I have to work out this and this, where the claim is that I have not enough intelligence, that I'm ignorant about it, so that you make meaningful combinations, meaningful blendings. So we had that intelligence will correct ignorance, the belief that they're ignorance. But you can go further than that and not only ask what does it correct as an opposite, but it also sets straight various other beliefs which we have about ignorance. About intelligence. Yes?
That intelligence, source, and brain.
You see? Now you come to source and cause, huh? Now you can... You see, you have taken in there intelligence is cause, and it didn't quite fit, but I didn't say anything. I let it pass. But now you see where it actually comes in. That really one should have seen there that the cause of intelligence is mind. And that sets right, corrects the belief that the cause of intelligence is brain. That the cause of intelligence is what? What does it correct? What do you think is the cause of intelligence?
Scholarly knowledge.
That you get more intelligence through learning, through scholarly knowledge, through academic knowledge. Wipes it all out, you see. Because it says the cause of intelligence is mind. Therefore, its opposite of mind is that there is no cause for intelligence or no creative intelligence in brain, in nerves, in learning, in scholarly learning, in academic study. That there is no cause in memorizing. The cause of intelligence is not in memorizing, because mind is the cause. And the opposite of mind is memorizing, is brain. Can you see how you begin to get, with every new step and with every new rule you use, you get a fuller sense of intelligence? Shall we repeat the rules? The first rule you had was that we take the idea intelligence and combine it with other meaningful ideas of mind. Then the second rule we have taken was saying that intelligence sets or corrects the opposite of intelligence, which was ignorance, or people say, I have not a good memory. Because they believe, that a good memory has to do with intelligence. So the second rule shows how we can set off the opposite of that idea. Then you had a third rule of using it and asking, where does intelligence come from and where does it not come from? It comes from the one mind and therefore not from. Then we add brain and nerves and memory and learning and scholarly learning, academic learning, from memorizing and so on. So there, you have always some kind of rules that help us to enlarge and enlarge and enlarge and enlarge one's concept. So don't you feel that already now within the realm of mind itself you have much bigger and stronger and more exact sense of intelligence than if you just said, well, intelligence is an idea of mind. Much bigger, much more concrete already. And it shuts out already various erroneous concepts about intelligence. Namely that intelligence is dependent on brain, is dependent on how long I have gone to school. It is very important for us that we don't say, well, because I didn't have an academic training, I will never understand Christian Science because I lack intelligence. No, no, no. Intelligence is only depending on mind, on nothing else. Yes? All right. Then we go to spirit and begin now to blend intelligence with ideas of spirit. Again, we do that with the positive ideas of spirit. And what could you see as a, now, from now on, you must even be more careful. What is a meaningful combination? Just think perhaps of yourself as being not intelligent and having to correct it, or think of your children or something that say, I can't make the grade in school, and I am not intelligent enough. Now, here it is, correct it, huh? And then you have a meaningful combination. All right. What do you feel? Intelligence has order. Intelligence is an ordered way, yes, because spirit is order. This is terrific, that the intelligence, therefore, has an ordered way of expressing itself. If mind manifests itself, that intelligence expresses itself in an ordered way. Yes. All right, let's stop here quickly.